give our attention to the word of God. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytics, and healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And Lord, add blessing to his holy word. Amen. Let's ask for a quick blessing on this word. Lord, we thank you for all the singing and the reading of the word. Now I pray that you would bless the spoken word. I pray, Lord, that this sermon would just remind us of your goodness and your grace. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to concentrate and focus on your word. Help us to see that this is the word that you have given to us today. And Lord, I pray that we would feed on it, that we would sit at your feet like Mary and just devour the word of God. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I said it last week. I'll say it again. Happy New Year to you. This is the first Sunday in the new year. And it's funny, I was talking to one of my co-workers, and she was frustrated because at her fitness center is packed with people, and she couldn't find even a treadmill to run on. So she was a little frustrated because she realizes that in January, everyone decides they want to lose weight, work out again. And so I guess she waited out until about March or April, and probably return back to normal. But it's interesting with the new year, you know, it's often we look forward to it because it's like a new beginning, really. We like new beginnings. We like new things. We like something new and exciting. You know, if last year was tough or last year was difficult and challenged, we love to turn the page, and that new year signifies that maybe this is our year. I saw a meme on Facebook. It's definitely not biblical, but it basically said something to the effect of someone is calling God saying, I want the, not the trial and tribulations package, but the peace and prosperity package. And that's the way we feel. We feel that, you know, as the new year comes, we get something new. And we're like that. We love newness. We love something that's exciting, something that's original, something that that will captivate us. We see it in the world, we see it in Hollywood, we see it with fashion and clothes and so on. Things, you know, we like a new song or a new fashion, new show, whatever it is, we like something new. And then today in our passage, that's sort of what we see here, something new. Who is this Jesus? Jesus comes, you know, he was a carpenter, baptized by John. There he was, tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And now here he is in verse 23. He's going about doing all of these amazing things, things that no one's ever seen before. Who is this Jesus? It says that the word spread pretty quickly, that people were excited, captivated, amazed. People were finding where he was and following him and looking at him and so on. They were amazed. They were like, this is Jesus. He's doing these amazing miracles and healing people, and he's teaching a different lesson, and he's teaching a different way. Who is this? We have to go see this. And so many people were captivated, and they found where he was. And so there he was, going around Galilee, preaching the word and healing people. Josephus says in one of the commentaries that I read that in Galilee there was like 200 different cities and districts. So Jesus was all over the place in Galilee. Someone said it would take 3 months for him to visit all of these different cities and places. So he was an itinerant preacher, and he was preaching and teaching and doing all of these amazing things. Well, as all of this excitement and all of this wonder and joy and this newness of Jesus, it sort of wore off, as you read in John chapter 6, after he did that great miracle, and And once the people found out that Jesus was not there to be a political king or to feed them every day, it says a lot of people stopped following him. A lot of people walked away from him and did not follow him. And this newness sort of wore off. It was great while it lasted. They had great expectations. But like anything else, it dies down and it dies off. Well, today, 2,000 years later, as we look at these verses, as we see the excitement, well, this message really is back really to the fundamentals. The fundamentals of the kingdom of God. We are not like those in Galilee. We're not like those that we saw there who were so excited and the fame went throughout all Syria. We've all heard about Jesus, surely, for many years. We've heard about him, we know about him. And so, what do we think? Do we have that type of excitement? And yet, it's even more than excitement. It's those things which Jesus did that we should still do today, that we should still follow today in 2024. Well, just three quick things that he did. First of all, as we look at these verses, it says there in verse 23 that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And we'll stop right there. This first fundamental thing he did was that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching and teaching was Jesus' mission. And if he did go to 200 different cities in Galilee, that was his message. He was an itinerant preacher. As John, it says in John the Baptist in Matthew 3, says that he was in the wilderness. People came out to hear him. But Jesus was there around, walking around, preaching and teaching, going to different cities and so on. And what was this preaching about? Well, he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven. He was preaching about repentance. It says there, I believe in verse 12, it says, verse 12, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, and which is by the sea in regions. And then in verse 17, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is his message, that he is the Messiah. And he's called people to repent, to believe the gospel, to believe the truth of the gospel, to believe the word of the gospel. That was his message, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, that he came preaching of repentance and inauguration of the new kingdom, and to believe, and that he was the one sent from the Father, and he is the Messiah, and he is the one that was talked about in the Old Testament. This is the message that Jesus preached. This was the message that Jesus taught. This was the message that Jesus spoke, and these people were amazed by it. First, they were saying, he's not like one of the Pharisees. He's preaching with power. He preached with authority. He's preaching as one who has the authority to do that. Well, if that was Jesus' message back then, this is still a message for us today. Today, preaching, as I said, is not new. We sort of got tired of it. We've been sort of exhausted with preaching now. You see, churches sort of going away from preaching in a sense. They shorten the sermons. They have little talks, little inspirational things. They have skits and plays, and they have video clips and movies and things like that. Or they preach something totally different than that. It says, surely, to preach like this is sort of old-fashioned. We are modern people. This is a modern world, so maybe we need a modern message. We don't need what maybe the backwaters of Galilee, what they preach. We need something different. We need something exciting. We need something that's going to reach the modern person who has iPhones and is dealing with modern issues and modern things, and they have Teslas and they have computers and laptops, and they have all of these sophisticated things. These people, of course, they would be excited, but we're different. We have social media. We can get on our phones and find out information right away. We need something different. This is for the ignorant. This is for the unintelligent. We're educated. We are much more modern today, so that's what we need. But the Apostle Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel. This is the word of God, and the Bible is still the Bible, whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it is today. It's the same thing. Paul told Timothy, what preach the word, In season, out of season, whether they want to hear it, whether they don't want to hear it. Why? Why is preaching so important? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. You have someone, one person up there preaching, speaking, droning on and on, and there's 500 or 600 people. Wouldn't it be better if we did it maybe one-on-one or small group studies? Those things are fine, but the Bible says it's through the foolishness of preaching that men and women become saved. And Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. Preaching is what? It's something amazing. It's something fascinating. It's not a person standing up there, but God has, speaks through the preacher. When a preacher is preaching the word of God, that's God speaking. Paul says, Jesus told the 70 in the Gospels, if they hear you, they hear me. If they're preaching from the word of God, then that is God himself is speaking. He's speaking through them. That's why we always pray, Lord, bless our sermons, and Lord, not see me, but that they might see the word of God being preached. And how important it is, and that's our need for today. Now, a lot of people would disagree with that. As you can see, if you look around in San Diego, people don't think this is a need for preaching. They think, well, we have a new presidential election coming up in 2024. We have to make sure we get our right guy in office. We need the right politicians in office. We need the right police chief. We need the right legislators. We need local legislators. We need to make sure we get our God in office, because that's the hope of the world. Because this election is so important that the hope that this world, if it's not right, will not work. So preaching, that is outdated. That doesn't help. It's okay if you want to go and hear a word and hear about it, but that's not the true message. The true issue is what we need today. We need to figure out how to get rid of crime and homelessness. We need to figure out about maybe having more fathers in the household and all these things. We need to figure that out. We need to have conferences and meetings and stuff like that. We need to put our minds together, but we do not need the word of God. That's not what we need. We need something else. Well, Jesus would beg to differ, because he says there in Matthew 4:16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. What's that great light? The word of God. That we are dark in spiritual darkness. We are in morally darkness. We are bound by the devil. We cannot see. We're blind and so on. And that great light is Jesus has gone all through Galilee preaching the word of God. He is the light of the world, and we can follow him. That's what we need. We need revival. We need to see the light of the gospel that shine in dark places. We need to have our eyes and ears opened up to spiritual realities. Before, we walked in darkness, we walked in blindness, we were ignorant, we couldn't see, but now we can see. Why? Because the word of God has come and has penetrated our hearts. It's made a difference in our lives. The word of God often angers us, it steps on our toes, it frustrates us, it makes us deal with ourselves and deal with our consciences and so on. And that's why reformers talk about there's two teachers. You have the person preaching, but then the Holy Spirit preaches to our hearts as well. This chaplain was telling me the other day, he preached a message and he said one of the parishioners told him, says, you were wrong for saying that my loved one had a drinking problem. Now, he knew nothing about the loved one, but obviously the Holy Spirit spoke to this person, and he said, well, someone's been talking to one of my family members for you to know that. And that's not that. It's that God's Holy Spirit knows our minds and our hearts and our consciences, and we just bring the word out and we talk about it, and the Holy Spirit does the work, does the rest. That's why preaching is important. That's why when you come here, you should be eager to hear the word of God preached, because it's the hope. It's how you grow. It's how you're built up, as Paul says there in 1 Corinthians. He talks about the gift. God has given pastors, preachers, and teachers. You should pray for your preachers, as you had this morning about praying for pastors and so on, and praying that you get one. And that's important. Why? Because this is what you need. You need the word of God. You hear it all throughout the week. From the worldly perspective, from the human perspective, how bad things are, what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. It's a spirit of fear, a spirit of bondage in a lot of ways, to keep you in bondage, but here you have a word from heaven. A word that will bless you, a word that will keep you. So that's the first thing we learn here, that Jesus came preaching and teaching. We should do the same. Maybe we're not called to preach, but we can share the word. We can witness to somebody. We can talk to people who are in a circle. We can tell them about the gospel. We can tell them about Jesus. Well, that's the first thing. The second thing is this is fundamental. We see that Jesus believes afflictions. He believes afflictions. And we see that there in verses 23 and 24. It says in verse 23, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. And then verse 24 says, his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. In other words, Jesus came and he did remarkable healings. Healings that when he healed, immediately, instantaneously, they were healed. There was no moment there where he healed and you had to wait a couple weeks or they felt better or they were improving. No, immediately they were healed. Instantaneously they were healed in all manner of diseases. He never had any type of failings. If he was going through all Galilee, some commentators say he healed thousands of people. If he's going to 200 different cities, laying his hand on people and healing people. That's why his fame went all throughout the world. I'm sure some of us, they wouldn't imagine if that could happen today. They'll have a back problem or a leg problem. If Jesus could just touch me and I could be healed. I know a lot of our charismatic brothers and sisters think like that. But if you look at the Bible, there's only a few times where miracles are really prominent. And why did Jesus do the healings then? Because it was to show who he was. It was to back up his message. One time he told someone, your sins are forgiven. Immediately the Pharisees said, well, who is this person that can forgive sins? And Jesus said, that you might know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. He tells a man who's a paralytic, take up your bed and walk. And that showed that that he was the Son of God. So this was just to back up who he said he was. He says he was the Son of God. He said he came from the Father, that he has all power and authority in heaven and earth. And so he showed it by doing these healings. And so these healings were not just for healing for themselves, but it was to manifest and show who he was. However, when you think about medicine and sickness and about these things, it's interesting because really it just shows partly that Christianity is really interested in the whole person. Not just the soul, obviously, but also the body as well. And if you look and see, Christianity has done a lot to advance modern medicine. When you look at the names of a lot of these hospitals, you see Methodist, Baptist, you see there's a lot of Roman Catholic hospitals. You see, Seventh Day, there's a lot, they all have church names. Why is that? Because God has put it in our hearts to what? To help, to relieve the afflicted. And so modern medicine is a blessing. Now, a lot of times we will just say, oh, it's modern medicine and forget God, but really it is God's way of blessing us and caring for us in that we live in an age now where a lot of the diseases that we're doing during Jesus' day had no chance of being healed. Today, we can live somewhat better lives. We can live lives that are relatively healthy. We thank God for the medicine and the procedures and so on that maybe would have shortened our lives. Now, modern medicine has done that. And so, healing all manner of diseases and so on, no, we do not have that, even though God still does miraculous things at times. Not through people, but he does. I remember doing my internship in Franklin Square, New York, where an elder had a brain aneurysm, and he had bleeding on the brain, and the doctor said, basically, he will die tonight because they couldn't stop the bleeding. And obviously, we had a prayer chain, and everyone started praying, and miraculously, the bleeding stopped. And the doctors were amazed and things like that. Often, sometimes those things do happen, and we give all credit and glory to God. You hear about cancer, where all the cancer is taken away miraculously and so on. But normally, God works through means. He works through medicine. He works through healings. He works through these things. And so the body is important. Having a good diet, eating healthy, and so on. So Jesus showed that by his care of the body, by healing these people and healing and so on. So we should seek what we can, like Jesus, to relieve the afflicted, to help out, to do what we can to help those who are afflicted, to pray for them, to help in any way possible, as Jesus did, to help those who are in bondage and so on. But also there's a spiritual connotation here as well, as we find there, is that a lot of these diseases were, no one could do anything for these people, humanly speaking. The epileptics and the paralytics and so on, and all manner of diseases. These were not diseases where someone just had a headache. These were diseases that were pretty devastating. And back then, there was no modern medicine. There was no one to heal them or anything, or they were demon-possessed. And yet, Jesus showed his power by healing them, showed his power by delivering them. And we see a spiritual connotation there in the sense that we were like that spiritually, that we were spiritually lame, we were spiritually paralyzed, we were spiritually tormented and so on. And it says there in verse 24 there, it says, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases. They brought to him. In other words, there were people there who were bringing them to Jesus, and that is what, as Christians, we should do, bringing people to Jesus for salvation through prayer, through talking to them, and so on. And yet, this is where we were at one point. We also were like this, and only Jesus could heal us. Only he could heal us from our sin problems, from our sickness, from our spiritual diseases. Only he could heal us from our drug problems, and so on. It's Jesus that healed us, that saved us, that delivered us from our sins, that delivered us from the evil and so on. It says some were demon possessed, that even the demons there came right there where Jesus was there, and Jesus delivered them and healed them. And so it is this another reminder for us to remember to go to Jesus, to look to Jesus, that Jesus, that we're often helpless, that we often can't do anything without the Lord. And that's something that we need to realize more and more again. How helpless we are, how weak we are, how sinful we are, how fragile we are, and how we must continually rely and lean upon Jesus. David, the great king, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. In other words, David says, yes, I'm a great king, but I am a weak sheep leaning on God. And all of us are weak people. We all have this idea of self-confidence, and we can do it ourselves, and we can make a better, a good try of it, and we can become a better person by our own selves and so on. But we all need to realize where we are, that we are just like these people coming to Jesus, afflicted, tormented, with various diseases, with various sins, and we need to follow Jesus, and we need to give our lives to him and serve him. We need to humble ourselves and realize that this is where we are. That it's not about our own self-esteem. It's not about being a good person. But it's about us coming to Jesus, realizing our own sin. Like the publican in the Gospels and Matthew, where he says, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's what Jesus said. He saves sinners. He comes to seek and to save those who are lost. Paul talks about himself as the chief of sinners. And that's what we need to do, is come to Jesus, realizing that we need him. Not only for salvation, but every day in our lives in 2024. And then the last thing, and then I'll be done. The third point is that they followed him. They followed him. That's found there in verse 25. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. I realized that a lot of these people followed him because out of curiosity. They followed him because it was exciting. Oh, who wouldn't want to witness a miracle? Who wouldn't want to see a lame person walk or a paralytic get up out of their chair? And the people wanted to see. We love to see things like that. That's we love to see things that are miraculous. It's something that we love to see. We want to see it. So everyone was there, even people who were healthy. They were just out of curiosity, just wanted to see this happen. Now, we didn't have cell phones back then, or everyone would have been taking pictures and posting them. But the point of the matter is that a lot of people followed him out of curiosity, followed him because it was exciting, because they wanted to see what was taking place. And we saw there back in John chapter 6 that a lot of people stopped following him because of the they didn't like what he said in terms of that he wasn't going to do miracles on demand, so to speak. He wasn't going to feed them every day. And so, but yet some followed him out of love for him, out of their heart. And perhaps that's what Jesus is telling us here, to follow him more. Yes, we've been saved by him. He's relieved our afflictions. To hear the word of God preach, all of these should lead to what? To us following him. It's great to be part of San Diego Reformed Presbyterian Church, but it's better to be part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. San Diego Reformed Presbyterian Church is a means to that happen. That's why we call it a means of grace. The preaching is so that you might follow Jesus more. Now, I almost preached on Genesis chapter 5, where it says Enoch walked with God, but he was not, for the Lord that took him. That was in Genesis 5. Because you look at Enoch, he walked with the Lord, but it was not easy to walk with him. Because in Genesis 6, it talks about there was violence all over the world, and men were basically doing what was right in their own eyes. It said that God was sorry that he made man, and the wickedness and violence was all throughout the world. And yet, doing that genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, God says, Moses' Enoch walked with God. That was important. We don't know what his job was, what he did. Hebrews talks about him as well, that he walked with God. And that is the Christian faith, is what? To follow Jesus. To follow him, to have a relationship with him. To marry Christ. To commit to him. To follow him. To give our vows to him. Now, don't judge me when I tell you this, but I don't know if you guys heard it, but I watched Golden Bachelor. I don't know if you guys don't know what that is, but it was basically, the concept is, if you ever watch The Bachelor, which I don't watch, but Golden Bachelor, basically it's people 60 and over looking for love. And so this guy, I think he was like 70, and this woman was probably around that age. And they met, and I guess, you know, there's a bunch of women, and he selected this one. They had the wedding on TV, and they both were widowers, and they both said, "We found love again." It was all on the TV. They had the wedding, and they were reading their vows and all of these things. And I was thinking about that. There's something to that. We love romance. We love to hear that. Some people just love to fall in love with being in love. That it makes us feel good, and so on. And yet, we find that really in this world, can we really find what we're looking for? Because everyone disappoints us. Everything that we try, everything that we do, for a while it's okay. I mean, these two people, they're so much in love, they were crying, "I found my true love, I found you," you know, and so on. But they will soon see that it's not what they think. They will soon see that it's not their true love. There will be problems and difficulties and challenges and disappointments and failed expectations and so on. And that's what people are in this world looking for. We're looking for that. Someone to follow, someone to believe in, someone to commit to. Whether it's a spouse, or whether it's a job or a friend or whatever it is. But Christ says to follow me. He says, "I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me." That is the Christian message, to follow him. All the miracles, all the healings, everything that he did, everything, the goodness of God leads to repentance. His voice that he cries out to us all the time, "Follow me, follow me, follow me. Help me do it by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. We do it by faith. What is faith? Well, faith is simply this, is that we look at things, as it says in Hebrews 11, things unseen rather than things seen. It says Abraham did not look to this world, but he looked to a city whose builder and maker is God. Faith says that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Faith has us look beyond this world. Look at spiritual realities. That 2021 means that that's a year closer to me going home to be with the Lord. And faith says that no matter what happens in this world, I know God is in control. And I know that God loves me. That is faith. Do we have that faith? That's what God wants us to do, to focus on the next world. Yes, we got to live in this world. Yes, we to enjoy this world, the things of this world. Not to say we just not thinking about this world. Of course we have to. We are in this world. But he tells us to always remember that there's more to it than this world. There's more to it. That's what faith is. Faith says that there is more to it in 2024. To follow him. To follow the Lord. The world says to follow them. To follow them and to enjoy yourself. To do what makes you happy. To indulge your every lust. To live the way you want to serve yourselves, to live for yourselves. But that way always leads to depression and sadness, and it leads to you going to hell. Because people who go to hell, that's what they get. They got what they wanted, and that was to live for their own selves, to do their own thing, and to live the way that they wanted to live. But these people follow Jesus in 2024. Let that be our purpose. No matter what happens, that we follow Christ. That we hold on to him, and that he holds on to us. And everything that happens, good or bad, prosperity or adversity, to follow the Lord more in 2024. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bible, so that we might follow him. May God give us the grace to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just these fundamental things that we saw in your son as he ministered in this world. And Lord, help us to perform that same ministry as we deal with people you put in our lives, family members, friends, colleagues, places we work, our neighborhoods, and so on. May we have that mission that Jesus had to share the light of the gospel, to share the light of Christ. And Lord, also may we as well and receive that ministry. May we look forward to the preaching of the word. May we look forward to helping those who are afflicted. And may we seek to follow you more, that we might take up our cross and follow you. Bless us and help us to do that, Lord, by faith. And Lord, hold on to us. Do not let us go. Bless us and keep us in Jesus' name.